When JJ was a little boy, he sat in the lawn watching me dig a big hole because I was going to plant a rose garden. And the soil was very bad, so I had to dig down about 18 inches or 2 feet, remove all that clay, and then mix it with topsoil and amendments. And when I got down about 2 feet, I ran into this big flat rock, and I had to sculpture out around that rock and then climb down in the hole and then muscle the rock up out of the hole and throw it up on the side. And as I went along working, he just sat there for a while, and pretty soon he said, "Pappy, when I get big like you, I hope I can be like you when I get big." Well, I obviously thought, well, he sees me as some kind of spiritual giant, but I couldn't let that go. I had to press the issue. I says, "Well, Jay, what is it about me you want to be like?" He says, "I hope when I get big, I can pick up big rocks just like you." Jay is our oldest grandson, and we have come to love him and always have loved him dearly. He's a junior at Philadelphia Bible University. He feels called to the Christian ministry. He's not certain whether it's here in the United States or foreign missions, but he does feel called, and I was able to get him to work us into a schedule and has promised and said he'd come and minister God's word to us. Just let him know he's among friends, right? Amen? Okay, Jay. Josiah John Meyer, come and minister God's words to us.
Thanks, Pat. I just want to let you all know that it's a great honor and privilege to be with you tonight. I'm very excited to just get to see all your faces again, and it's really, really neat to see you guys again. So thanks for having me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we can be here today, Lord, that you have that you love us so much, that you care for us. Lord, help us as we look at this passage. Going to be talking about trials and things that aren't always easy in life, Lord. Just open our hearts to the things that you have to teach us. Just help us to look to you for our guidance. We thank you for your love. In your name I pray. Amen. When I was about 11 years old, I was actually probably most of you knew me at 11. But when I was 11 years old, I had this longing in my heart. I longed for a wife. As weird as that is, at 11 years old, one of the longings that I had in my life was for a wife. And God, at the age of 11, was not going to give me one. So I had to be patient, and I had to wait. And about a year and a half ago, 2 years, I finally met someone that I thought was really going to be the one for me. And I started dating her, started to get to know her and things like that. But as time went on, there was something inside of me that I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I just had some sort of uneasiness. And about 5 months ago, God kind of blew open my world. There was just a certain set of circumstances that God really showed me that this was not what he wanted for me, and that he had another plan, which I still don't know what that is, but he had another plan for me, and that I wasn't to go down this road. And at that moment, I had a choice. I could continue to live the life that I wanted to live. I could fulfill this longing that I had at 11 years old that I've been having for so many years. I could fulfill that and do what I wanted, or I could follow God and what I knew he wanted from me. It was a very tough time in my life as I considered about what God wanted me to do. And very long story short, I chose to try and follow God. I will tell you one thing for sure. That was one of the biggest trials I've had in my life. Because I had to let go of one of the things that was the most important to me. I look at James and what he has to say here. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I don't know about you, but I know in that situation, I was not feeling very joyful. And I was going through a lot of heartache. And that's kind of what it's like in this world, it seems. We have heartache and pain, and there's death, and there's all these sorts of things that bring us down in life. It's not the most easiest world to live in sometimes. And it's because of trials. God brings trials into our lives. Maybe not the best way I'd like to experience life. In fact, most of us, when we experience trials, what do? Well, some of us sleep. That's what I like to do. I like to sleep. And some people play video games. You know, there's all kinds of solutions to when trials come into our lives. What are we going to do? And so often we try to hide from them. But God wants us to face these trials with joy. With joy. What is a trial? Poole says this. Trials are afflictions from God to see if men will cleave to Him or not. And that's the trial that keeps coming back into my mind when I faced just a few months ago. Am I going to follow God or am I not? And that's what trials are all about. They're about to bring us to the point where we're to say, are we going to follow Him or are we going to follow what I want? A.T. Robertson says, the word various, when it's talking about trials, various trials, points the picture of being surrounded by trials. So when James is talking here, he's not just talking about one small trial that you experience in your life and that you just, okay, that's one trial. He's talking about being surrounded by trials when your world seems like it's crashing down, when there's everything going on in your life, whether it's a friend, you know, in pain or there's death in the family or things like that. Those are the times that you're supposed to consider it joy, when there's tons of things going on, not just one, to consider that joy. I don't know how big of you guys are on to word studies and things like that. I enjoy word studies. I was looking up this word, trials. Some of your Bibles may have temptations, and there's a few other translations for it. I like what Burdick says, because he splits the word into two different parts. Because there's a positive sense to this word trial or temptation, but there's also a negative sense. And Burdick says this. First of all, trials could mean that they're difficulties that come from without. They're difficulties that come from without. This has the idea of like things like persecution and pain and suffering and things like that, which is what James is talking about here in verse 2 through 4. He's talking about trials that come from without, that like persecution and things like that. But then there's another sense of the word trials in which it means that difficulties that come from within, which deal with temptations to sin. Now, James isn't necessarily talking about temptations of sin right here, because he talks about that later in verses 13 to 14, and that's what Burdick says in his commentary. As we take a look at trials tonight, I want us to keep in mind the Bible is full of people that went through trials, full of people that went through hardships. Even the passage we were looking at in Psalms 105 about Joseph. Think about the trials that Joseph went through. The pain in his life of his brothers betraying him. And then working hard, even as a slave, he works his hardest. And he gets promoted only to have that position taken away and being accused of a crime that he never committed and being sent to jail for years. Those were the trials that Joseph went through. But it was all in God's plan. Because God knew what was going to happen. God knew what Joseph needed. And God got Joseph to the point where he could fulfill what God had called him to do. Look at Job. When we think of trials, Job is the perfect example of a man that has faced trials. He lost everything. Everything he lost. His kids, his wealth, all this he lost. Then he lost his health. But Job never cursed God. He never cursed God. He was always faithful to God. It's an amazing story of Job. We think of all these trials, and then we look at James. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. There's a few ideas of what this word joy means. There's a few commentators that say that this joy, this all joy, because there's the word all there, refers to an unmixed joy, that it's all joy. There's no other emotions mixed into this joy. It's only joy that you experience. I don't know if I agree with that. It could be possible. I would say that it has more the idea of the quality of joy. And there's a few commentators out there that would say the same thing, that this joy is about the kind of joy, not just the little joy that we experience, but we consider it all joy. Now, that doesn't mean there's pain and sorrow, because there is, but we're still experiencing full joy. God wants us to rejoice and have complete joy when trials come. That's the idea of what James is trying to say here. It's not a very easy thing to do and feel, and I know that from personal experience. The more trials I have come into my life, and I'm a young guy, right? I still got a lot of years left in me, right? Guess what? I'm going to experience more trials. As I'm sure you have experienced many trials and will continue to experience many trials. And I know that just from the trials that I have experienced in my own life, that they're painful and that they're tough, and it's the worst time to try to consider them all joy. Why? Why should we consider trials all joy? Look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance. That is why we're to consider these trials as all joy. Because it produces endurance. Birdwick says, endurance. It is in struggle against difficulty and opposition that spiritual stamina is developed. You could try to apply for a job. You could try to apply for a really great job and that makes lots of money. Whatever job you like. Okay? Maybe you will say we're doing something on Wall Street here or something like that. Okay? But you have no clue about what the job is, or how to do it, or anything about that. You just know that you want it. Now, the fact that you want it, does that mean that you'll be an expert in your job? No. In fact, you go for an interview and have no experience in some of the jobs out there, and they'll look at you weird. What? You have to have experience in the things that you want to do. Now, if we want to be a Christian that endures for God, that God has asked us to endure, and we want to do that, well, guess what? God has to give us the chances to endure. Or else, how can we endure? And that's what trials are about. Trials are about God giving us the chance to endure, to persevere for Him. Theodore Epp says, the greatest thing that trials will accomplish is that it will mold and conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. That is what trials are all about. In one sense, yeah. Are you going to choose God or are you going to choose yourself? There's that aspect. But there's also the aspect of it as it comes and as we endure, that it makes us grow into the person that God wants us to be. Look at people that don't know Christ now. Do they look like the kind of people that mold Christ? That look like Christ? In general, not. No. Why? Because God is taking us and shaping us and molding us, and that takes time. You can't be a perfect just like that once you become a Christian. But it's a process that God is leading you through. We don't experience glorification at the moment of salvation. We experience this process that God is going to lead us through that involves trials. And the trials are to grow us, to make us more like Him. We talked about Job a little bit. In James chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 11. James chapter 5 verse 11. He says this about Job. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Like I said, look at what Job had to go through. I mean, can any of us really think in our lives that if we had to go through that exact same experience, that you would come out just as good as Job? That in the end, God would look at you and say, good job, I'm giving you back all that you lost. And even more. Would God be able to look back at our lives and say, well done, good and faithful servant, even after going through a hardship like that? Well, I'm not saying that we're all going to experience the trials of Job, and if you haven't, then you haven't endured. I'm not trying to say that, but what I am trying to say is that when times of trials come, how are we going to handle them? Are we going to handle them the way God wants us to handle them and endure through them? Or are we going to try to sleep like me? Job is the perfect example. Also think of Jesus. It says in the Bible that Jesus, though despising the shame, endured the cross. He endured the cross. If I knew that through my endurance, that I would die, be hung on a cross, and have something experienced to me that no one has ever experienced, God turning His back on me, would I try to endure through that? You see, I don't know if we realize this, but Jesus is the only person that has experienced not having the promise that He promised us to Him. See, Jesus promised in the Bible that He would never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus is God. But Jesus experienced God turning His back on Him, something that we can't even imagine. Because we have God with us. We have Emmanuel. We have Jesus. But Jesus experienced it. And why? Because it was what God wanted. He fulfilled the will of His Father. Even though He had to experience that. Endurance molds us into the character of Christ. I want to encourage you, as we think about trials, the importance of enduring. You know, we think of the importance of enduring and we say, okay, that's great. But when it actually comes to it, sometimes it's a little harder than just saying, okay, endure now. Go ahead, endure. It's a lot harder sometimes. And sometimes we don't even realize how hard it is until we're actually in the situation. And then we don't want to endure at all. We don't want to consider it joy. But I want to encourage you and remind us that God knows what He's doing. God's the one that brought in the trial. God wants you to become more like Him. And He's going to give you the opportunity to do that. And even though you can't see the answer, even though you can't see the solution, even though I can't, He knows what's going on. and He knows what He's doing. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles real quick to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is a beautiful, beautiful text. Starting in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even through testing of fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. I love what Peter is trying to say here. First of all, he talks about the reward that God has for us in eternity. He talks about the inheritance. It's imperishable. See, God's got your future in mind. He cares about you. He cares about us. He loves us. And He wants, first of all, what's best for Him. And part of that is what's best for us as Christians. And even though now we experience trials of all kinds, and that we experience pain, and sometimes we think that we're the only ones that have felt the way we have felt, even though we experience those times, God knows what He's doing, and His plan is working to perfection, even through our pain in trials. I love verse 6. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. See, Peter doesn't ignore the fact that we go through trials and hard times, but he reminds us that it's only a little bit. It's not forever. The pain that we experience today, even though we feel like we'll never get out of it sometimes, it's only for a little bit. Our lives are like a snap of a finger when it comes to eternity. When we compare our lives to eternity, it's almost nothing. And even though we feel like we have to push through, and we do, we need to push through to what God has called us to do. But it's only for a little bit. Because then, God has our future. He has our inheritance, and it's imperishable for us. One more text. James, once again. James chapter 1, verse 12. James in verse 2 and 3 and 4 talk about the idea of trials. And he comes back to it in verse 12 before going on into another topic talking about temptation. Temptation into sin. And this is what he says in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. God's got our future figured out. When it comes to trials, we're to consider them joy. We are to endure, as tough as it may be, because He understands what's going on. He understands your future, and He understands what's best. And He is molding us And he's making us into the person that he wants us to be. When we don't understand, and to be honest, that's almost always for me. When we don't understand, he does. Just a quick note, in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God knows. And the times that we don't have answers, he tells us to go to him. When we don't have the wisdom, ask him. I'd like to share something with you, more as a something I have personally experienced about endurance. We can't endure without him. I know James doesn't technically say, you know, that it's only through Christ that we can endure. He doesn't say that, but it is in Scripture often. We can't endure without him. We need him. I remember those nights after I had broken up with my fiance. The pain that had brought, the hurt that was there. I remember one night being so upset, just weeping. I didn't even know why I felt like doing this. But I just said, God, I know that you got it all figured out. I know you got a plan. Actually, it's kind of funny because when I was going through this time, I was actually in a children's church or Sunday school. At my church, I was going through Joseph, and for a Bible study for the senior high in my church, I was going through James, and we were also talking about Job. So it was kind of funny that I was going through this at that time, and I said, God, I know that you know what's going on, and I know that you understand better than me, and that you got a plan that I just can't see or understand. And I said, I know that, but God, just hold me. I said, God, hold me, because I feel lost. And I know that a little while later, I don't know how long, I fell asleep, and I woke up the next day, and I tell you, this was not from me, but I had a peace. I had a joy. And even though the sorrow and pain was still there, no question, even though that was there, I felt peace. And I know it wasn't mine. It was God's peace. I have a professor at PBU. And he said something that I'll never forget. His name is Dr. Hardesty. Or Mr. Hardesty. And he said this, enduring is not about knowing the path. It's about knowing the guide. That is what endurance is about. It's not about how we're so tough and we can make it on our own. It's about God leading us through it, being there. And it's about us reaching out. Well, he reaches out to us, but in a sense, us looking to God. Not to try to figure out how we're supposed to live our life, but to look to God. Because he is our life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for what James said. That we are to consider it joy. That we're to endure. Father, help us to do those things. Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy at all to do those things when we're in trials and when we're going through hard times. But Father, I ask that you would help us, that you would guide us, and Lord, that we would love you with our whole hearts, no matter what the trial. Bless us as we go today. Help us to do everything to your honor and your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.